Blog Talk Radio.
Yes. Oh, okay. The following is suitable for all audiences. So please tell your friends, tell your family, tell your loved ones, tell your hated ones, tell everybody in existence. You listen to Cocooning from the Microphone here with DJ Butterfly Feces. The one, the only. Accept no substitutions. This show is brought to you by Organic OK, a man who's going around the world saving it, protecting it. So please, do what he's doing. You remember the old phrase, give a hoot, don't pollute. I know that's an old, old slogan, but it seems like, I don't know, it doesn't like anyone's listening, you know. It's enough to hear these slogans every single day. We're supposed to do something. You're listening to Kakuna from the Microphone here with DJ Butterfly Feces here. Please, get involved with the cause. We're here at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. Man, where was I? No, literally, where was I at this point? Oh, yeah. We just crisscrossed up and down, sideways, whatever, and then there we were headed to, well, let me start from here. So I was basically living in McKinleyville, California, most of my life until Organic OK came along. He came along to help me, to protect me. Anywho, I was basically lost. Damned, you might say. And I basically found myself without means, whatever, but Organic OK took me by the arm and basically said, join me on my trip. He was a wealthy philanthropist who was going around basically picking up the garbage, cleaning up the filth of it, trying to help the collective evolutionary conscience of all humanity, trying to save the world, because some people didn't have time to save the world. Some didn't want to be basically, you know, lumped in with tree-hugging hippies. Some didn't want to save the world because they didn't want life to go on. They wanted the world to be destroyed because they've grown to hate this life. They curse their own birth. I don't know. Anywho, I basically met Organic OK when they were camping right in our forest of McKinleyville, California. Enjoyed some of their cookout, whatever. Went into the tent with them. You know what? Before I knew it, they invited me on their trip. We went all over saving this planet. We went everywhere, down, left, and right. Man, the things that occurred on that street. I saw things I can't unsee. It's like war vets tell you. Basic training, preparing, whatever. No matter how much they condition you and prepare you and brace you for, you can even look forward to the war you're about to face, but somehow when you go out in the battle, and if you come back alive and in one piece, you're never quite the same. No one is. I don't know. I remember being on that road. Everything I've seen, everything we've seen so far, we made some difference. I'm telling you. Now, look, I went around and we actually more than helped a few people. Changed some lives. We changed minds and we made things a lot better on the street. Even I know. I had to ask Organic OK, Is there anything that's going to basically get everybody together, universal love and welfare among the human species? To which he answered,
dude, ain't nothing going to do that. Because there's some people who don't want to get along. Some don't want to prosper. You know, some don't want to get rich and famous. Some don't want to be happy. Some just want to tear it all down with a wrecking ball.
You know, the funny thing is, you think all those people are in prison or headed that way. That's what I like to think. And I thought about all the changes that we had made and whatever the means. I thought, couldn't you basically, you got money. I mean, you know, couldn't you like start your own foundation? Gives and shares. No, man, listen. A lot of organizations, whatever, they just give them a handout. It's like some of those cultures that basically film those starving children in third world. They're stick thin, railed, starving to death. They got flies in their eyes when they play sad music, whatever. And, you know, they'll send them a care package every now and then, and it's nice that they're doing some charity in person, whatever. But it ain't enough just to basically, well, the problem is too many people on welfare. Unemployment, it ain't enough. Gotta eliminate the need for all that. You gotta basically give people means. I want to say his organization can do better. Where are we headed to now? Was I homesick? Well, a little bit. I mean, no, let's be honest. I missed, McKinleyville had everything, but I missed that more than I missed my family. If you want to call them that. You know, it's funny. I thought about how us kids all played and got along when we were little. Daddy used to say that's the main reason people get married and have kids. Oh, sure, we fall in love, want to pass on our genetic material. Yeah, sure we do, you know. You want to, that's your mortality right there. But more often than not, you want a circle like you had when you were a little kid. I know when we're really little, I mean, when we get to be like 9 or so, all we can see is all the things we look at our parents did wrong. Maybe they did a better job than we give them credit for. Because let me tell you something, I heard stories about people on the street, about parents who really did them wrong. Parents who screwed them up, didn't prepare them in any way, shape, or form. They got all messed up. Now, funny thing is, I mostly saw guys on the street, because white men are the kind of people you mostly see in homelessness, particularly in America. Because I got to tell you, dude, the women's still willing to be kept woman, women, you know? But how abusive he is, as long as there's some money on the table, as long as she doesn't have to work, as long as he'll... Man, things are... I don't know what. Then we stopped the car right there in the great state of California. I looked at it. Where are we headed next? Oh, surprise. I didn't like that. Look, I know we're kids. I like surprises. But look, it's the main reason that basically we start watching a warmed-over Hollywood formula movie. Sometimes in life, you just want to know what you're getting. Surprise can be nice, dude, but one thing I learned on the road out there in the street is that, you know something, freedom or not, you don't necessarily want surprises. Somehow it's just safer to know what's ahead. Listen to me, I'm talking like an old man now. That's sad, ain't it? We got on the plane. We took not a nice airline, but it was cheap. It was going to take us. It's like, where are we going? You'll see. Man, it was a long trip. I don't really like air travel. It's not comfortable. I get motion sickness. I know the food has improved. You remember when everybody was talking about how bad airline food was? A school cafeteria lunch is, you know, it's like when enough people make a big deal and talk about how terrible something is, well, there are bound to be some changes. Sure enough. Yeah. Looking out there, I had to ask him. We couldn't take a train or something?
No, man. We're going over the Pacific Ocean.
This is weird. Weird. But there we were off. What did I want? I want to go around and make some changes like I did before. I want to basically rile up a whole team of other vagrants who are going to say, give us something. We're going to pick up the garbage and do something for us. I want to make sure a couple of us have a roof and four walls around them. Some kind of means. I wanted all that. You know why? Because even though he was taking care of me, sometimes it's nice that he was paying all the bills. He was doing all this, but you want to know that your mission is actually being carried out. You want to know things are working. It's like a teacher. It's been said that they actually make a lot of money now. They didn't used to. Now look it up. They actually make more money. But here's the thing. You want to know that you're making a difference. Imagine all those educators basically know they're just regurgitating stuff out of textbooks and whatever. But don't you want to know you've actually inspired somebody to change the world? I know they didn't have the most respected profession for the longest time. The old saying, those that can't teach. You're always basically trying to give people all this information. They're going to do all this stuff that you yourself will never do. But you know what? Now we live in the information age. Education is a lot more valued. Unfortunately, in a way, teachers really, in school, really isn't respected now because nowadays, thanks to the internet, anything you possibly want to know can just be looked up. Not just Googled. I'm talking on any web search, browser, whatever, what have you. It's been said people don't even respect doctors anymore because nowadays you can just look your symptoms up online. What a time. What an age. The machines are basically becoming so powerful, it's amazing humanity itself has become totally obsolete. I'm still waiting for the takeover when the machines, I know we're all plugged in the machine, but the machine totally rules us. You know what's actually kind of funny? I get the weirdest feeling that in some way the machines rule us already. We just don't know. You know what? I was such a bitter misanthrope about so much of my life. Maybe that's one of the main reasons I don't want to contribute or help. I mean, no, I did. I do now, but I didn't for the longest time. You know why? It's the oldest store in the world, dude. This world was not nice to me. It did not bless me. I'm not talking about in the sense that basically you always saw somebody else having it a little better. There will always be that no matter who you are. I am talking about the fact that why couldn't I be one of those people born rich with a silver spoon where I could have just I've been so blessed I could afford to give back. Well, some people have to build their legacy from scratch. So not all of us can afford to be old money. It's 15 minutes after the hour here on the program, cocooning from the microphone here with DJ Butterfly Feces. Please get involved in the cause. Get involved. We're here at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. And we are talking literally here to the one, the only, except no substitutions here, DJ Butterfly Feces, and his show is brought to you by Organic OK. He's going around trying to heal this world. Cure it. Pure it. Well, purify it. I was trying to say make it pure or whatever, but I don't know how else to rhyme. I want to be catchy and whatever. Organic, okay. Oh, and check out Maya Harrison. That girl is all over. She has a magic all her own. Recording artist. She's still making it work. Okay, I've said this before, but I got to say it again. This show's going to get a little repetitious. In the age when literally recording artists themselves are kind of, sort of, how do I put all this? Look at how I'm going to phrase this. Their careers are kind of, sort of, because free downloading. I know all us music lovers love all the music in the world at our fingertips, but there's a reason they try to copyright this stuff. You know how the music industry took a real big bite with all this stuff? Look, nobody wants to pay for anything, but one thing I learned is that one of the reasons so many people are on the streets is because things you used to have to pay for, you don't have to anymore. When everything's free, no money exchanges hands, all this, everything around you just comes falling apart. Check her online, Maya Harrison. She's got her own website, www.mayamaya.com. No, I didn't stutter. I did not repeat myself. Two Mayas with a Y. As we headed basically towards the plane, towards our destination, we actually had to change planes several times. I was tuning out. I was barely even listening to the captain. I didn't. But honestly, something picked up my ears, my sense. They were tingling when I heard the phrase, listen to me very carefully. This is when I heard this. We're headed towards destination Egypt. I was like, what? Is we going to Egypt? Organic looked at me and smiled. Cairo. What? Cairo. Cairo? Cairo. Cairo. Cairo, Egypt. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Now, I was one more person who basically didn't always get into the whole internet thing and the whole it's just that, like everybody else, I guess I based what I knew whatever, outside on stereotypes or whatever. When I thought of Cairo, Egypt, I thought of what else? The Sphinx, which I know was missing its nose. Napoleon blew that off. See, I did remember a little bit of something in history class. The pyramids. They still don't know how they built those dang things. Moving all those stones and whatever. How do they do it? When I thought of Cairo, I remember I was thinking of, well, once again, the pyramids, the Sphinx, the Nile River, all these things in Cairo. Was everyone going to basically be dressed like pharaohs, like King Tut? Was everyone going to be walking like an Egyptian? Were they all going to basically use hieroglyphics? I had all these preconceived notions about Egypt. Flinched. Because you know something? Guess what? I was from America. What would they say and think when they found out we were Americans? I didn't speak Egyptian. Our camels are very difficult animals. Oh, no. Look, long story short, I was just terrified of how all this was going to go. Finally, we took we had to change flight so many times. But the last plane we took, little thing, it bumped on the ground real hard like an old school airplane landing. Like boom when it basically hit the ground. Bump, 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 bump on like a camel's back. Why do camels have that? Why don't they got scoliosis, like they need advanced chiropractors or something? I heard those humps of how they survive and whatever. I was not looking forward to this. I was afraid to get off the plane. Dude, come over here. Organic said that to me, but somehow it just didn't resonate. Dude, come on. We got lives to save. The homeless. Think about the homeless. Would it be so bad being homeless in Egypt? I mean, it's in a hot climate. People are going to freeze to death. I don't even think they'd catch cold. What do they eat out here? Sand? I shouldn't say that. But all the stereotypes came to mind. The country's like one big sandbox. It's just a desert. What's going to happen when I got out here? Whatever it was, I don't know what to do. I was afraid to get off the plane. But you know what? I made myself.
Cairo, Egypt. Man, it was hot. The heat hit me like a brick wall. Dang. I heard that basically global warming had made the hotter parts of the world especially unbearable. But dang. We were here early in the year, not even over the summer and whatnot. Dude, is ever a time to be in basically Egypt? It's got to be during the winter. I followed him. Whatever happens, happens, I thought. Whatever happens, happens. I kept saying that. I kept saying that, but what did it mean? Are they going to welcome us in here?
Yeah.
You speak Arabic?
Yeah.
I almost basically asked him, I almost said to him, okay, you know what, say something to me in Arabic right now. Tell me what it means. But I didn't want to push it. Okay, I was scared. I was scared. But good God, I didn't want to... He flew me out here on his dime. I was still terrified. We hit those mean streets. They were hot. And once again, I was surrounded by people who basically were dirty and didn't have anywhere else to go. And somehow, in Egypt, it was a little cleaner and dirtier at the same time. There were no means out here. Not really. Somebody told me about Egypt. They're such a religious group of people. Their faith is what they value most. It gives them the most comfort. Unites all of them. But more than that, no one can afford to be an atheist out here. I don't know. It was hot. I was basically surrounded by people who really, once again, were specially diseased. Here's the thing. I was the kind of guy who basically believed that things were especially so, bad out here because they founded their country, you know, in this big, you know, sort of, in a big desert where there's not a lot of means, there's not a lot of lucrative resources. But even I heard about how Egypt had all the oil. America was coming over there and jacking that. One of them told me, America is the richest world because they have stolen everything. We have our evil here too. There is no place where there is nothing but good everywhere. But I tell you this much. Listen. They have stolen. They steal from everyone. They attack us. And worst of all, we already cannot make means for ourselves. I know things were bad over in the States, but you know what? They're going to be worse over here. You could have staked anything on it. What he expected was the third world. I saw all these vagrant people, vagabonds, especially dirty. And you know what? Thing is, what can we do here? I kept asking Organic, what can we do here? Give them some money? This government, I mean, look, it's one more area of the world where those in power keep all the money for themselves and everything else is destitute. I was hungry.
I was hot. Tried to take my shirt off. No, dude. Organic told me, you can't take your shirt off out here. You can't do it. People think that you're ready for a brawl. You got to be kidding me. Look, this is the country where that's about as close to the sun as Mercury. I mean, my God. I mean, out here ain't nothing but sun. Sun and sand. I mean, this is a perfect place to tan yourself.
Yeah, but it ain't allowed here.
I know when you got to go to a country, you got to learn all the rules, but I don't know. I'm just so used to him basically leading me around by the collar, really so. I just didn't know what was what.
Help the homeless.
But once again, how? How do I get people to help these disenfranchised people?
All that is came to mind. Probably by getting them to take all their money, all their means, whatever, and having one big group place to live in.
A lot of poor people tend to live in big clusters. Nah, see, that wasn't going to work. They had no money to begin with, and nobody was willing to.
I told him about our expedition. Even here, Organic told me, dude, tell him your name.
I was very hesitant to tell him what he dubbed me. Once again, I wanted to basically do it, but there were a lot of places when the moment they hear your name is DJ Butterfly Feces, people stop listening. Do we even have DJs anymore? Thanks to free downloading. Anybody?
I don't know. I just don't know. I was scared.
Because this didn't seem like an easy task. But I basically just tried to do it. I tried to say, okay, my name is DJ Butterfly.
Only some of them spoke English. They spoke, a lot of them spoke English because it's the language most of the world knew. It was the language of the most powerful countries on earth spoke. One of them said, I learned English. If you want to basically, know your enemy, you must speak their language. They looked at America as their enemy. Some of them, he said, I don't look at America as an enemy. One of them told me. I don't. Our enemy is here, where we are now.
And he was right. I have to help unite them and whatever, but what can we do they're not already doing? You tell me.
It's 20 minutes after the hour here on the program. Cocooning from the microphone here with DJ Butterfly Feces.
This program is brought to you by Organic OK. The guy's still going around there trying to basically save this dying planet and connect us all together. We need to do this now because we're running out of time. I think this needs to happen before it's too late. Please, tune into the mic. 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. Listen to the music of Maya Harrison once in a while. She got a good message herself. I went to Organic and I said, how are we going to help them? You tell me. No, you tell me. Tell me right now.
I know I was getting kind of uppity in his face. I mean, what's going to be here and it's dying, but I'm sorry. But seriously, what were we supposed to do here?
I was at a loss. Almost everywhere else we went, and I mean everywhere, there was some kind of problem for the homeless. But here, even when people have a place to live and a job, I mean,
once again, I knew stereotypes, and I guess I based a lot of the stuff I...
Carl looked around. It was actually a beautiful city.
I guess I was basing everything, the entire country and all the stuff I heard about Iraq. Iraq. So glad we didn't go there.
Actually, you know, in there, there might be something we can do for them.
What do we do here?
Dude, figure it out. Figure it out, feces.
I told him about my struggles, about everything I went there on the street, about how I survived and endured and everything else. I told them. And they were impressed with what I had to say. They were impressed, but they were more than impressed.
But they wanted to know what I could do for them. Let me know. Give us some money. They all laughed.
I didn't laugh.
Because I knew organic could do that.
But dude, what's he going to do? Just basically, rich or not, even though he is, what are we going to do? Go to every single place we find and throw people a few dollars this way? Once again, this program wasn't just about giving people a handout. It was about basically trying to make sure that things were better in general.
Teach a man to fish and... I don't know. I looked him in the eyes and I said, tell me your story. They told me their stories about how things got so destitute and bad over here and whatever. About how hungry they were. About how much they were at a loss. About how people were just kind of broken. How everybody was without means. And how some of them were dying. I know, I still feel like I should have done something. What to do. Tell you one thing. I sat down, basically, and I tried to talk to them about asking about their ordeals. I told them a lot of people have that problem over there in America, in the States. Now, you look at it as the country of your enemies, I'll tell you one thing. A lot of people over there are starving and suffering and destitute and doing just as badly. It's the richest country on earth, but almost everybody's broke. Things are bad over there now. Terrible. It's falling apart. One of them said, I'd still like to go there. They laughed. Just to get away from the heat. I made myself laugh too, but I was so disappointed. Is there a program to basically get these people off the streets and whatever? Nah. I kept wondering, I'd like us to start one, but how are we going to? We're just visiting, ain't we? He looked at me and said, yeah. Well, it's enough. Okay, I'll tell you what. You give me an answer. Give me something. Anything. What do you suggest? He said, I don't know, dude. I don't know. What do you think of something? Let me think of something. I want to scream at him. He brought me here all this way, and he had no plan whatsoever. He didn't think this through at all. Everywhere else, we almost made some kind of difference. Could we do it here? But here, this looked like this was going to be the exception. Wasn't enough to just talk to these people. We had to help. I tried to talk them, basically, and maybe joining us to picking up some of the garbage around here. And once again, just like certain parts of the States where I came over and asked the question, they asked, why should we? They were thrown on the street with this, like, so much garbage, misfit or whatever, basically. So, and it wasn't even just capitalism. This is about the government rules over them, whatever, and cast them adrift. I am not joking. This is what their government do to them. Why should they help? Why should they help? Why indeed?
These people pick the garbage up pick up all this trash. What's going to happen then?
I don't know. I got to tell you, I don't know. You sound like I'm still there. Okay, here's what happened. I went around there and picked up some of the garbage myself and encouraged others to do the same. They didn't want to. This was not a system that did right by them. I went up and down. I tried to talk to people here, there, and whatever. Funny thing is, I was picking up garbage, trash, or whatever. There are a few people who weren't exactly on the street as such who, they smiled. They smiled. Because you know what? They were happy to see somebody do some good Samaritan thing. We all had to stay in this sort of hotel. It wasn't terribly nice. And the toilet didn't have toilet paper, but the toilet had a bidet.
God adjust to, dude, said Organic. When in Rome, do as the Romans do. We're in Egypt now. Do like the Egyptians.
What should I do, build a pyramid? You know, it's funny. They build all these elaborate things like pyramids and sphinx and tombs for these rich people so they can die in luxury. Take all their stuff with them. Yeah, I found out all about that one. But look how they average person here, Kim.
Yeah, some place in the world is still like this, man. Not everybody who rules all is going to be benevolent, and a leader's going to think about the people.
See, I'm the kind of person who basically would be afraid to be king and emperor. Because, you see, I would always know I'd have to do the noble thing, where I think about what the people need, instead of just trying to, you know, indulge myself. Be some tyrant. Be some dang ruler like so many others who have ruled. I know they all love God here. They all love their Allah. But they're not all good, decent Allah people. Some of them try to be Allah. I thought about that. Thought about that long and hard. And you know what? It made me sad. Because he's so right. I don't know. I didn't know what to do. I was without how to help them. How to help and cure the world. I don't know. I know how to help these people. Tomorrow I was going to have to think about it. Think about it long and hard. Truth is, I still don't know how to save the world. I don't know how to save even the people in this country. Where we all live, all that. Still, I got up on the streets and I picked up trash, garbage. But even I know this really wasn't going to help these people that much. They need a reason to want to give back to the community. Me? My reason was because if I stop here, it all stops here. What if he got mad and left me here? Don't even speak the language. Maybe they deport me. Yeah, but to where? They're going to take me where I want to go. I don't know. I guess in the end, I want to do something. I said, look, before we go, let's do something here. All of Cairo. So we ran around all over trying to convince everybody to help. Saying we came around here basically to do something for the community, to help these Cairoans.
I don't know the term, to basically literally save this world, help the community, do something to it, right by it, to pick up the to basically get involved, to help each other. Some turned away from this. Some just smiled and waved. Some just clutched onto their wallets and pocketbooks like they were going to ask for a donation. Some just said, I will pray for them. I looked at the state of things and I realized prayer wasn't enough. I don't know what I was. I was running around trying to help, asking if you could do something to make sure that the homeless population in Cairo was looked after. They were united somehow. I asked them all to unite, tighter than they were before. I wanted to make some kind of permanent change for the better. I told them all to work together, be together. Took a look at the city. One guy told me, dude, it's okay to go around the city, whatever. As long as you're, helping the community as well. So wherever I went, if I was going to go around sightseeing, I was going to be sure to pick up some trash and throw it away. People smiled at me. I went up and down. I was saving lives. I asked Organic, could we give, to some of these people? It's like, what? Well, Dad, dude, can't you give money? No, money, just handouts, just spare stuff we don't need. Kind of using everything on this trip, dude. I wish you could just throw something at the problem, but, sometimes, once again, I'm trying to help these people for good. Yeah, just give them something. 45 minutes after the hour here on the program, cocooning from the microphone here with DJ Butterfly Feces, the one, the only. Once again, I walked over all the corners of the world and actually helped these people. Did kindness and good, love and welfare to help these, and I'm encouraging you all to do the same. I know. We're all so without means ourselves that the truth is we're afraid to give. We're afraid to give because we're not much ourselves, and we're afraid what happens if the day comes we need something, we don't have it. And we're afraid if we're lacking, we can wind up on that street ourselves and never get off, die there. I ain't gonna lie to you. People do. I've seen it. I didn't just hear about it. I saw it with my own eyes. Check out early in our program to find out about that. But the truth is, how do I put this? It's a real thing. Gotta give. I don't know. Me? I was giving. I was trying to save. I was trying to basically cure the world. And I did, in a lot of ways. And I guess in a weird way, the homeless kind of brought us all together. If I was just, I could have been just one more person thrown out on the street, what would I have done if Organic wasn't there? After I was done picking up all that trash and whatever, I ran back to the homeless communes in Cairo and I asked them about, do they have any family they can stay with, any loved ones, anything?
They all just shook their heads no. One said, I have a family. I have a daughter somewhere. You have a daughter? Can you stay with your daughter? I hope so. And that was my mission. This woman was on the street. She had some family somewhere that might be able to take her in. I was going to help her find her daughter. I told Organic about my plan. Said, sounds good. Do it. Do it. This was golden. More than golden. I mean, it seemed like, I'm not kidding here, good people. People, I was going to make a real difference here in Cairo. And so I did. Ran all up. You know where your daughter might be? Is there a way to find out where she might be? Is there a way to find it out? You tell me. You tell me. You tell me. And she just shook her head. She didn't know. I tried to find some government office in Cairo. Tried to explain. I'm trying to help her find her daughter. Her daughter. Get her off the street and whatever. They all smiled and nodded once again. A very noble effort. But they didn't want to help. I wanted to say, geez, you guys in Cairo, you really have a tightly knit whatever. But come on. Got this problem in America, too. What to do, what to do, what to do, what to do. Not a clue, not a clue, not a clue. I went around there basically trying to find her daughter. Does your daughter live here in the city? I think so, last time I checked. Okay, yeah, we can find her. You can stay with your daughter. She'll stay with her daughter. I don't know. I went all over. I asked her to help me pick up garbage with me when I left. I mean, come on. I'm doing something for you. You know, here's the thing. I'm not asking you for anything else. Just help me basically clean up a little bit of Cairo. She agreed. She helped me. You know, I actually thought about trying to have a romance with her like I had at some of the places we visited. But something just kind of told me not to. I think it was her. No, seriously, I didn't even try. I told me to tell her about herself. Everything. Tell me about your daughter, what she looks like, where she might live, how we might be able to get entrenched with her. We ran all over. We ran everywhere. It was a hell of a thing. I don't know. It was difficult. But I did it. It was very hard. But I had to do it. Try to go to all these different government, whatever have you, said, please, please, please. I said, this woman, I can get her off the street. She's homeless. She can stay with her daughter. I need to basically find out how I can get in touch with her daughter. Can you basically get with her family in some way, illegal, whatever? I was running around. Some days I asked myself why I started this whole thing. Then I told myself, what other options did you have? Those people out on the street, those poor two people, you could be one more of them. You're not really a vagrant, dude. You may not have, an actual address, but you are being looked at and taken care of on this world trip because this guy's taking care of you. Now help the homeless. Do your job, man. Do your job. On your keep, boy. And so I did. Dang, finally. I don't know. I went literally to this, what's the word I'm looking for? I went literally to this last spot, this other branch of government, and they said they're going to do everything they can to try to find this
woman's daughter and get them back in touch. And I said, thank you. But somebody was actually willing to do a kind word, a good service. When somebody asked, why was I doing this for her? I explained it. Because who else would? Who else indeed? I asked if somebody would help. People would help. I don't know. I made a difference. I got that person. I didn't see her again. I walked off after that, but I got her back in touch with her family. I didn't actually see it happen, but I know they did it. Look at my heart, and I'm sure it happened. I did it. I got lost a little bit walking back, but I finally found my way back to the original spot. Whatever. It was almost midnight. And I went into literally the hotel we were all staying at, collapsed in the bed in a heap. You know, gave somebody, dude, take a shower. Had you worked your mission work? Yeah, they're going to do it. I see you did it. You didn't think you could help anybody out here, but you did. You picked up garbage, and you basically, she's going to stay with her family now. You did that. He was right. I did it. Not only did I do it, I did what nobody else seemed to want to. We were all set to go to basically walk away from Cairo, but before we did, I sat him down and I basically went back to all the other vagrants and I encouraged them to do the same with themselves. Save yourselves. Get a place. Find somewhere to be at home and whatever and protected and, you know, yada, 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 yada. Find a home. I'm babbling. What I meant was find some place. Get in touch with your families. Maybe you can stay with them. Stay connected. You guys should be a central support system. Be your own home. Together, you're part of your own community. Make things better. I told them my story. I told them a story about how I helped that woman, you know, government officials, could help her find her family. I told them all that. And they were all speechless, in a sort of awe. They were grateful. One of them took me and said, "You are an angel. You are the prophet." People will tell stories about you. Not in the Quran, because not a word of that is meant to be changed. It's the same book as ever was, but someone will someday. You are going to be the hero, true hero. Someone once said, some of them said they didn't even know if their faith was real. No one knows for sure. But I was real. What we were doing was real. And that's something. Real, real. I was more than moved and overwhelmed, I was relieved. Well, coming to the end of our hour, but long story short, before we got on the plane, I encouraged them, stay together, connected as a family unit. Stay united, stay connected together. You guys need each other. You need that. That's going to help you guys weather the storm. As long as you guys have each other. They knew that, but I wanted to basically tell them they could do the same thing for each other if they really try. Maybe so. Maybe so.
The flight back, I said, "Oh, that was hot. We did make a difference." Yeah, remember that. Keep trying to make a difference. Where are we going next? You'll see.
Once again, I wish he would tell me. I want to be a little more prepared. But yeah, a difference was made. And not just with her. I like to think wherever she is, she's with her family now. But at the same time, the rest of them, I like to believe they followed our story and whatever. And they're connected. They're all working together.
Thanks for listening. This is Cocooning from the microphone here with DJ Butterfly Feces here. The one, the only. Please, tune in next week for another installment. Find out where we were on our next destination. Thank you all, and please, get involved. 10:59 here exactly. Oh, check out Maya Harrison. Oh, and Organic OK is pushing this thing. Yeah. At this point, what can I tell you? The flight was long and uncomfortable, and basically the service wasn't great. It was very uncomfortable. I don't even think they had a decent vomit bag. I guess you get what you pay for. And we basically headed back to the U.S. and on to our next destination. Thank you for listening to Kakuna from the Microphone with DJ Butterfly Feces. Thank you, and good night.